Welcome to A Course in Miracles.
Brother John?
I didn't do it.
Oh, yes, you did.
And
I
busted.
I have proof. Okay. You got yourself into this mess.
Thank you.
I mean, there's no other way you could be here. In this body, in this situation, with these beliefs, with these habits, with these fears, there's no way you could be here. You got yourself into this. And what's more is, you could not possibly have found yourself here as long as you have without being fully dedicated to being here. You got yourself into this. You find yourself exactly where you designed to be. In a body, in space, in time, with this situation you got going on right now. This is exactly what you've done. But I think everybody's here with the door closed. Because enough is enough. Some part of your mind has said, I think there's another way. And I think it's worthy of my attention. I'm going for it. I'm going for it. Okay, so now that you're committed, there's a cost. It's kind of the fine print of A Course in Miracles. You have used the power of God, no less than the power of God, to get yourself into this boat. Body, time, space. You've used the power of God. The power has been applied. You see, it's not some weaker power. It's not some fragile power that will fail on its own. This is the bad news.
Because
you've used the power to get here. The power. Your true self is a creator. Your true self is an extension of God. In fact, the Course says you are God's channel for creation, quote unquote. You are. That means you have the power. The power. Not a power. The power. You got yourself into this using the power. That's why it's so good. That's why it's so convincing. You applied the power as an extension of the power. Well done. You got separation. Feeling it? Living it? The separation a bit?
Just being in a reincarnational context?
If you wish. Again and again, as many times as you like.
It doesn't have to be.
Oh, man, it doesn't have to be. But boy, I'll tell you, if you want to do that, how many thousand times have you done it? Living it. The power. But if you're in this room with the door closed, maybe you're saying, I think there's another way to be. Than locked inside of something so limited. All right. Now what? Now what? Because you've been so dedicated and so excellently applied the power and pulled it off. Because honestly, the default is in your consciousness. If you're still pulling in air and then before long you have to push it back out. So you can, right? If you're that person, you're completely drunk on this. This is your reality. This is your default reality, is in a body, going to live for a while, going to get sick, and die. That's the default reality. That there's suffering and wants and wishes to try to be happier along the way before you die. That's the default reality. But I think if you're in this room, you think there's another way. If you've spent more than a few hours with this book, you know there's another way. That's why we're here. But do not underestimate the power that you have applied. You can be feeling separate. It's you could actually think you exist in that body. That seems real. That there's a whole entity that exists between your ears, in your body. That might cease to exist were it to die. That application of power. You know what you're going to need to get out of that? You're going to need a miracle. Oh, man. You're going to need a miracle.
Or a few thousand of them.
Yeah. You're going to need a miracle. You're deeply in this. Now, the good news is miracles are everywhere. They're all over the place. In fact, conveniently, because of what you really are, which is an extension of the power, you're an extension of God. Whatever God is, you're an extension of that. Full access. That's how you got here. That's how you got yourself into this, is because you are an extension of that power. So, to get you out would be an application of the power. It would be an application of the power. Look, there isn't any other power. There's the power. There aren't opposing forces. That's duality. So now here's the good news. The good news is you are fully capable of undoing and going back into light and joy and true sharing without limit and extension. You don't even know what that is. You've been so busy here with projection, where there's something happens here and then it shows up over there. You're so addicted. That's what you needed to do so you could be alone in a body. Now we're going to apply the power. And one of the ways you can do that, and we're talking about tonight, is you would have some help. You would have some help. Well, this is the good news. As it turns out, you're not actually alone. That was part of the illusion of separation, is that you could pinch yourself off and be alone in your limited state. Not so. The truth is, all of the universe would bend to your need were you to simply allow it. Much more than what you're aware of in your little body and your little exposure to time. Because you are an extension of the power. You've been busy with separation, pulling it off. One of the ways to undo it is to apply for help. The way you got here is to say you're helpless. You did it! You got separation. Well done. Time to undo. Time to undo it. And to undo it, it's the opposite of what you've been trying to do, which is be alone and experience alone and actually live apart and separate and alone. Opposite of that is not alone. Now, you can do mental gyrations and you can go into pure non-dualism and say, well, look, there's only one of us here, and so for me not to be alone means dualism. You can play that game. But I'll tell you, for as drunk as you are on being alone, perhaps you should maybe listen in and allow yourself to get some access to the whole that surrounds you everywhere, which is the truth. To get back to the truth, one of the ways to do it is to ask for help, to acknowledge you don't know, to acknowledge that there is another way, and it's bigger than the limited way you find yourself now. Yes?
Seems like also, you know, that concept of in order to, you know, have the atonement, we have to sacrifice something, right? Like it's like an exchange. Our specialness, our individuality, and, you know, it's a hard thing because, you know, I've thought about that, and even though, you know, I do value like what I think makes me unique or special, or you know, my special qualities, my you know, relationships, and the idea of the atonement is, you know, going and like joining with the whole and not carving out the specialness, and it does feel like a little bit of a loss.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Feels like a loss because your habit has been to know yourself as this separate being. If what I'm saying is true, and you actually are, you made all of this, you actually are an extension of all the power, and this is your creation, your dream is your of mere making. If that's true, you can make it as many times as you like. If you made it once, you can make it again and again with just one little change.
So instead of sacrificing your own individuality, you're really enhancing.
Because of what you are unlimited to do that. You can do that over and over, and you have, over and over again. Tweaking it as you go along if you wish. You are unlimited. There is no limit put on you and your creation and your desire to play, even to be separate again. You wouldn't choose it were you to awaken. You are, after all, a child with a whole lot of power. This book says, once you awaken to your creative nature, and the power that you actually have. First you'll laugh and say, wow, I tried to fit myself in that. And then you can go ahead and do whatever pleases you. And you'll be happier about it because you will inject love. You'll bring back joy and love into your creation. This is a really good news. Everything that you think you are that's valuable because of what you are, you can keep. You can come back and make it better. You can stay here and make it better. You are unlimited. The only thing that we need to do here in this room with this book is to return the awareness of love. That is the trick that you use to separate yourself off, to turn off the radio signal from God. Turn off the awareness of oneness. Turn off instant sharing so you have delayed sharing. You needed delayed sharing so that you could have this time and space thing feel real. Time was needed. Space was needed. Instant sharing won't do, you see. So that was removed. And you find yourself now in this limited body. So you cannot lose anything. That's the ego says you could lose anything.
I have a question, because so we spend a lot of time talking about, like, you know, letting go of, like, you know, anger or things like that. We talk about the holy relationship as, you know, like, you know, not, like, kind of letting go of the illusion that you're mad at this person or whatever, and that see that it's you. But what is a holy relationship? Like, not an angry one. Like, how do you enter into a relationship and have it not be special? Like, how... I don't understand that piece.
Okay, like, that's an important question. First of all, that you don't enter into relationships in this world without them being special. It doesn't happen.
It's kind of screwed then.
There's not enough of you. There's not enough of you, your right mind, to be in relationship with everybody. So you choose.
So it'll never be inclusive.
It'll never be inclusive. Yes, yeah, always going to be special.
And we have to, in accepting that,
yes,
we can be more present in the relationships we're in.
And more honest and more present.
Honesty.
That's correct. And then you can get past all of this trying to be other than you are. You're actually making special preferences for the body, for times, for whatever reason, attractiveness or height or weight or whatever it is. Know that you're just being a human. You're being human in a body, and it's special. And that is the way that you manage in a body. Now, the holy relationship is taking whatever you've decided to do and calling in the Holy Spirit so that you can, using that relationship, whatever you happen to pick, and you will pick it from a special basis, this is the way this world works, you will now have the Holy Spirit guide you on how to make it holy, it inclusive, to take the judgment out of it. Yes?
My prayer has been that the Holy Spirit guide me at all times.
Nice.
And give me whatever I need in order to move forward.
Nice.
And I just realized how lucky I have been in the profession that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like every single day I have at least one client, at least one, who was going through the same issue that I'm going through in my lessons here. And what's happened is when I hear them talking about this,
yes,
in their own way, not
yes,
that they know it necessarily, but
yes,
in their own way, all I can do is love them.
Have you read the psychotherapy pamphlet yet?
No.
She's a psychotherapist, by the way.
This is psychotherapy part.
Yeah, I know there is. I started the manual for teaching first. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've almost finished that one.
No hurry, I'll be waiting for you when you get there, but you're going to have a big belly laugh when you read a certain page.
Okay.
Because it describes what you've just...
So it's what I'm gathering is when I hear them have the same issue that I'm having and
yes,
the same step that I'm trying to get through.
Yes, yes.
That I feel like the Holy Spirit was there to give them to me.
Yes,
absolutely. And in that case, I can't do anything but love them.
That's right. Yes.
Because they're me.
Yes. And what is the best way to learn?
To teach,
right? Mm-hmm. And so this is the best way, the most help you can be to that patient is to learn from them.
Well, I tell them nowadays, and most of the ones I say, well, I'm learning from you as much as you're learning.
Yeah. Well, you're holding a space for them. And you got the degree on the wall. You got the permission for them to come in and heal themselves. They can't do that at home in the kitchen with the kids yelling at them and everything else. They don't. But they'll come in your space and they'll open their mouth.
And what I'm hearing now,
yes,
is that when I'm sitting in my study with my client,
yes,
the Holy Spirit is with us.
Yes.
And guiding
and
both of us.
Sent you to each other. It's in that little pamphlet. You'll enjoy it when you get there. Oh, yes.
Makes me want to skip to that. But
you can skip.
I'm doing it.
You can skip.
Doing it a different way.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm saying is I'm feeling really touched by and being guided.
Yes. And you're guided and loved?
Because I keep thinking,
I've been watching
him right now. Thank you. I thought I'd get this before John does.
Yeah, thank you.
Because you see, John applies the course to it in a way that's
different. Thank you, Luann. Thank you for sharing that.
Was that John or was that?
It's very valuable what you're sharing, which is an acknowledgement, the acknowledgement of what you experienced there.
Well, it's like proof that my prayers are being answered, and that's proof that gives me more and more faith.
Right, but when your prayers are being answered and you're connecting with this patient and you're seeing that they're you and you're getting, guess what, that's all of us, that's mm-hmm, everybody. And that, to me, that's how it comes out. You get the courage to share, that you got tears in your eyes. This is something that's personal and deep, and how many years has how many years has come to this point? And I think to be willing to just share that as truthfully as you can is a gift to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a therapist who I've been seeing for 30 some years, in both privately and in a group, and I've seen everybody share in this group, a bunch of women. We know each other for 25 years, and it's like sharing isn't hard for me. I don't mind crying in front of people, just don't hand me a handkerchief because I treasure my tears.
Okay. But you know what? Thank you for telling us that, because mm-hmm. it brings us right into tonight's paragraph.
Oh.
We're going to use your patient. Unbeknownst to her.
I don't call them patients. I don't think
what, a guest? What is it?
Client.
All right. So that unbeknownst to that client came into your life with a message for you.
I really need to get up every single morning knowing I'm going to be seeing people.
Nice.
And now I'm going to say, no, I'm not. I'm going to be seeing people that I'm going to be learning from.
Yeah. Last week, we were talking about the people in our lives we have difficulty with.
Most of them.
And turns out there, as the course lesson says word for word, you will soon discover there's not one person with whom you do not have a grievance at some level. Mm-hmm. There's something about everybody that you don't quite like. There's something wrong with everybody.
Even myself.
Oh, you sound surprised. You discovered it.
By the way, thank you.
Now, it's one thing to have a stranger walk through the door and give you a gift. The more difficult thing is to allow that assholy one in your life with whom you have a problem to be that savior that could give you the gift that you most need. And that's what we're working on in this part of the book.
Even a gift that's painful.
Even a gift that's painful. Turns out you wouldn't receive the painful gifts from somebody you didn't care about.
Oh.
You could ignore it. You could ignore it. You could ignore the message. Well, somebody you really care about, they can go right in and talk to you the way you need to be talking to. Because they crossed the line to do it. Got to you. Made you think about it. And then you thought about it again. And then you thought about it again. And you argued with it. And you thought about it again. Who else can do that to you but them? Who else can get to you that way? Who else could get to you that way? Turns out that is your teacher. That is your savior. That horrible situation you wouldn't wish on anybody that happened to you with that person, they shouldn't have, and God, they did. Why? But they did. It is for you.
So it's part of like a growth process. It's like a growing pain.
Yes.
And this is actually make you stronger, better, and more you deal with it.
And it turns out, with where you are and what you are and what you think you are, that's the only place to get you stronger, to get to you.
And you're the one who ultimately put that person there in your life anyway.
Yep. You're the architect. You're the invisible architect that you're not completely unaware of.
So bless them for being there.
So bless them for being there. They've come. It's time for them to come. Or it's time for them to go in such a way that would get to you. It's time. This is all about you. This whole world is all about you. And these are the gifts you have planted for yourselves. Some of them are kind of holy and others are kind of ass-holy. But that's what it takes. See, it's a wonderful adventure yet you're on, but it's time now for you to awaken and turn around. Let's real quick, let's just look at lesson 193. Just for John brought it up. And so let's just go poke at it. It's way back at page 367 in the workbook. Let's just look at this before we redo tonight's reading, because it's really tees us up. It tees us up. Huh? David, you want to start for us?
193.
Yeah, page 367 in the workbook, lesson 193. Let's just take a peek at this.
All things are lessons God would have me learn.
And I want to remind you that when A Course in Miracles says universal qualifiers like all or never, you could take that quite literally. I mean, it's simple that way, and it's true. Yeah. Please continue.
God does not know of learning.
Oh, period.
Yet his will extends to what he does not understand, and that he wills the happiness his son inherited of him be undisturbed, eternal, forever gaining scope, eternally expanding in the joy of full creation, and eternally open and holy, limitless in him. That is his will. And thus his will provides the means to guarantee that it is done.
Okay, so that's the truth. Unchanged and unchangeable. God's will is already done and happening. You are on a journey into separation, so you're unaware of this. But there is no learning. A creator doesn't learn. That's a level higher than our normal teaching. It's a level higher. The Course does it often. Here and there, it just punches above the lesson, curriculum. And this is an example. But boy, I'll tell you, when you're ready for it, that is such welcome news. Right? This information, it can really put you past, completely past what you're dealing with.
It's like an eddy in the huge roaring river of creation. I had to say it.
You had to say it. Okay, let's continue.
God sees no contradictions, yet his son believes he sees them. Thus he has a need for one who can correct his erring sight and give him vision that will lead him back to where perception ceases. God does not perceive at all. Yet it is he who gives the means by which perception is made true and beautiful enough to let the light of heaven shine upon it. It is he who answers his son what his son would contradict and keeps his sinlessness forever safe.
So you can stew on that and get a lot of information about what God really is right there. Of course, the Miracles uses the word God as if he was somebody. But God is not a somebody. And a few clues here, he doesn't perceive. So he's definitely nothing like you, which you've made yourself to be in a separate being. That's not, whatever God is not that, since perception is the way you exist in your separated state. Just a few clues dropped in here. When you're ready for them, they're here. Yeah. Let's continue. Mark?
Okay. These are the lessons God would have you learn. His will reflects them all, and they reflect his loving kindness to the son he loves. Each lesson has a central thought, the same in all of them. The form alone is changed, with different circumstances and events, with different characters and different themes, apparent but not real. They are the same in fundamental context. It is this. Forgive, and you will see this differently.
Forgive, comma, and you will see this differently.
Okay, so somebody gives you a, whatever you call it, an asshole lesson. What did you call it? What?
I didn't hear you. What was that?
You get a tough lesson?
You get a tough lesson from somebody you are that's in your life.
Yes.
That you love.
Yes.
But you're not liking them at the moment.
At the moment.
And they're giving you a lesson. Okay. But they're giving you a lesson. So, do they really need forgiveness?
Well, see, you don't understand.
Yeah, really.
You don't understand that they're giving you a lesson in that moment. What they're giving you is a slap in the face. What they're giving you is something you don't deserve. What they're giving you is some harsh word. What they're giving you is they didn't even show up and they said they would. What they're giving you is some disruption in the force of happiness.
Well, they're giving you also a forgiveness opportunity.
Well, now that's if your mind is in the right space. And if you're perfectly happy about it, well, this is not needed. No correction is necessary. If you understand that this is purely an opportunity for you to choose happiness, you've probably already done it. The miracle is already applied, and the forgiveness shows up so fast you didn't have to ponder on forgiving them in the situation. You said, "Oh, I'm free."
So wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't that be? But it happens.
It does happen. It does happen.
You stick with this, Bridget, and you will find yourself there as you probably already have. But yes, it would be nice all the time. Which is why I'm still coming here so that it can happen all the time. Big and small things.
So when I'm feeling, what I've decided, hope it's a good decision. What I've decided is that when I'm feeling bad, I'm doing something wrong. Bad being the reaction to fear, the reaction to shame, the reaction to
guilt,
anger,
and
all that stuff.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I'm doing something wrong.
Yes, you're in the bar drinking and you're an alcoholic and you want to stop. You know what I mean? You want to stop fearing and yet you're buying into fear.
Okay. So if that's true, that's about me. But I'm talking about if somebody gives me one of those kind of lessons.
Yes, yes. They're in your face with their finger pointing at you.
And I'm feeling... not feeling good about it, feeling bad.
Yeah, disturbing.
I hate to use good and bad.
But you're disturbed. You're disturbed. Your peace is disturbed.
I'm disturbed. I ought to automatically think, wait a minute, there's a lesson in here for me.
Yes.
And then I would know that's the time I need to forgive.
Yes.
Okay, so what I knew before was if I felt bad, I needed help.
Right.
I needed to change. Now I know that I also need to forgive.
That's really what's up. Is the miracle is presenting itself. You just need to ask for it. Yes.
Well, what is that part in there that says if I'm not at peace, it's because I have made a mistake.
Choose again.
Yes.
But the Holy Spirit.
If I'm not at peace, I must have chosen
wrongly.
And I got that part.
Yeah, but
that's page 90, everybody.
That's it.
It's one of our toolbox items.
Yeah.
And it says, I could just as easily choose otherwise.
Differently.
Yeah.
Differently.
Choose again.
And I want to choose otherwise because I want to be at peace. This is all page 90, quote for quote.
Yeah. I was wondering what page it was.
Very good. Very good. Yes.
I carry that with me.
Sometimes, though, you have someone who you have a difficulty with, and let's say you recognize that this person is here to teach, be a teacher to you,
mm-hmm.
and so you attempt to forgive. You forgive, which to my understanding means you look past the difficult behavior as if it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I've taken all those steps and I'll still have that unsettled feeling.
That's it. Yes, yes.
Even if I do all those things.
Oh, amen, sister. So she is speaking the lived experience of trying. And we all have to try to deal with these situations when they come up. And unfortunately, the first thing you're going to try is just to be a good girl. And the ego is going to try to help you to just not punish this person and not punish yourself and just, you know, behave better in this difficult situation. Well, that's not bad because, you know, maybe it might even keep you out of jail that day. You know, how bad that get? But What's happening most likely, and especially if you still feel the next day the burden, you skip the miracle. You did do the forgiveness part. So God bless you for that. And you probably had a better day because of it. But the next day, the burden is still there. That's a sure sign that you were trying to forgive. You were trying to be good. But you weren't actually doing your full Course in Miracles. Course in Miracles requires that you start with a miracle in that situation. Now, a miracle is a shift in perception about the situation. A miracle is not happiness.
Right.
A miracle is correction. It may be really ugly for you.
And it may be something you don't really want.
It may be something you really don't want. You want the opposite. In fact, that's why you need a miracle, is because you want the opposite of what's the truth. You want something special. That's why you need a miracle. It's because you really want something special, one way or the other. So, all of us want to just go straight to love and be loving to you or to somebody else, to the situation. But the ego's got you again. If you do that, this is why Course in Miracles is required, I think, for the condition of this world. Is you need miracles, and then you can go be loving once you've got your head straight, and there's room for real love, and not some pardoning palliative. I'll skip punishing you this time because that's how good I am. No, that's another attack. What we need is a miracle that says I can look at this situation and see that the harm that I believed is actually impossible. From that source, I must have done this. I need a shift in perception about this ugly thing that I'm sure they did to me, and I need to see it differently. Holy Spirit, show me. Shift and show me what's really happening here. And it's always going to be you taking responsibility. What you may need is to have a shift in time or a shift in identity may have to occur. You may need something as powerful as Miracle Principle 17, which is one of my favorites for just showing you how deep a miracle goes, which you won't find it in these self-help books. Let's look at, hold your finger here, we're coming right back. Just look at Miracle Principle 17. In the front of the book on page 4. And this applies to all sorts of things, but it is high level. This is high level teaching. You see it in the middle of page on 4?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It says, miracles transcend the body, period. Take a breath. Take a hit of the bong. Whatever you need to open your mind. Miracles transcend the body. There's sudden shifts into invisibility, away from the bodily level. That's why they heal. That's why they correct. That's why they rock your world. Because they move you out of your world where the problems are. Every problem you ever had to do with your body, or how your body responded to some other body. Miracles transcend the bodily level. That's why they heal. That's where your mind has to go, even just for a moment, as you say, show me this situation differently. What's really going on here with what I remember them saying, with the pain that I feel, the rejection I feel after they said that. It all has to do with them, right? Aren't they the guilty party? Aren't you so innocent? You don't deserve somebody to say that to you. After all, you only want love, right? Wait a minute! You poor victim in a world of bodies. You need to shift the invisible level. Yes, Lydia?
I get this concept when it comes to relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Can you try to help me discern how to apply it to something like a struggle, like with money?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a relationship. But
yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And it has its own weird energy, but I can't
it does.
Get my head around.
It does, and at least with a person, they can talk back.
Yeah.
But the money just seems to be this big wall of existence, of a power. Yeah, it seems to be a law unto itself.
But we create it, right?
The law of money. Well, if you're aware of you create it, then you could change it. But that's not the situation we're in. We right. find ourselves in bodies.
Right.
The money is, somehow it's over there. And I'm over here. Why isn't it all over here with me in my bank account? Yeah. That's how we find, that's the reality we find ourselves in. But it's a really good example. A good way to see through the victimhood. Because with money, the idea of what money could buy, the idea that happiness would show up were we to have more money, this is a perfect victim. Because you see, you dream of how you would apply the money, and were you to apply it that way, then this would change. The house, the car, the relationship, the health, whatever. And then you would be happy at some other time. After you get the money and apply it, see, then you would be happy.
Door B.
Say again?
Door B.
Yes. It's always door B, which is just out of your reach.
Money would, so not having money would be, and you're acknowledging that, is proof of lack in your life.
Woo!
Which if you believe in, it's going to make you feel like that in general.
So make you feel empty. You bet. Gonna make you feel empty, lacking. The money will buy something later. Even if you won the lottery tonight, if you won it before you came to the meeting, you're just sitting over there with millions of dollars waiting to cash it in. It's later. Some other time. It's a great example of how the special relationship works. Now, any good spiritual endeavor would tell you your happiness comes in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's meditation, and there's chants, and there's readings, and there's mandalas, and there's all sorts of things to try to get you into the present moment. If your mandala looks like a lottery ticket, it's just another dream. And so, this is a teacher, the money. And you can transcend the money, which is a really great meditation. I highly recommend you do it. You can take it home tonight in your mind on your way home in the car, if you like. And you can just say, I'm going beyond money now. Money is just another dream. It's another dream of what it can do and that it would bring you happiness. You know the lottery winners, right? You've seen the study on 60 Minutes? Where the lottery winners win, and yes, it changed their life. Big time. And they're really happy. I mean, no kidding. Cars and travel and food and oh my god, all the things, trips to Las Vegas, buy your friends all the, get your mother a house, you know, oh wow, this is great, quit your job, they're truly happy, really really happy here for about like 16 months or something like that, on average 14-16 months, and then they find that whoever it was before won the lottery returned. And now they have three houses, and they have a whole different set of friends who have different set of motivations, and the same person who was wanting to be happy after getting really happy is still looking for that happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Now same, this is a study that I read, same thing, they did the lottery and they did the other half too. and it was actually funded by the other half, by the U.S. Army, and it was people who get horribly harmed in war. They come back without legs or what have you. And they get truly sad. Relationship and their hopes and dreams about all the stuff that they would do. Only 19 years old. And they've got no legs. And one arm left. And they get very, very sad. Very depressed. And it's like, no money. Money's been pulled out. And you can't, if you had money, you couldn't spend it. I mean, how what would that be like? You have legs, you can't walk. You can't. It's pretty sad. But after about 14 to 16 months, some number of months, that same person who went into the military looking for a change in their life to try to get ahead in the world has some energy to do things. It went to zero. They come back, and that same person shows up so many months later. The same desires. They said, you know what, I always wanted to, you know, do something with my life, and you know, now I'm going to... Yes?
So how do you make, I mean, it seems like it's just human nature that all of us would be like, you know, I want this relationship to be different, or this job to be this way, or this financial situation to be this way, or these different things to happen in my life, and if they happened in these ways, I would be happier.
Yes.
And so, what's the moral of the story here?
Like, moral of the story is that your true identity and your true existence, your true happiness is not the body that indeed would be more comfortable with more money. So we have a fork in the road here. You have two identities.
Moral of the story: money doesn't buy happiness.
Yeah, but it does pay off misery really quickly.
That's the part cool. that I'm getting at.
Right?
It's not even about winning the lottery, it's just about erasing a little bit of struggle, like, can I get a straw above water?
Can you get a straw above water so you can breathe? Yes. So that's true in this world, and it's true in this world. So if you get more money or cut your expenses, but whatever, get the straw in the water so you can breathe into the air. Okay, yes, you will do that. But the moral of the story, what we're learning in the Course in Miracles, is there's the straw's going to be too short at some point. Sucking in water again! Yeah, what happened?
Well, you started to say, so we have two different identities.
You have two different identities. One of them is material. It's in a body, and it's a mother, or a brother, or a son, or a husband, or a wife, or a human. Okay, that's one. And you are stuck with that for a while. You love it. Okay, there's that. The other one is what we're waking up to, is you are spirit. You actually are an individuation of the spirit of God. Life. Life itself has called into existence you. Not Kenny. That's not what we're talking about. That's the other one. Kenny's the one that needs the straw that's long enough to get all the way to the air, please, thank you. And so Kenny will or won't do that. But that, what we're learning about the Course in Miracles is there is another you that you're waking up to. When you get there, we will add something to your name.
Christ.
When you get there, you will then be called by the name Christ. It's an awareness. It's an awareness of the truth. It comes in meditation sometimes. If you had a really good meditation and you actually transcend your body, you transcend money, really, just for a minute. Do this. Do meditation, you transcend money. See what you think money is. Try to put a picture of it. And see it, walk all the way around it, and say, I'm going to put this over here, I'm going to transcend it for just a moment. Change your whole life.
Crushing me, I can't even see it.
Well, you need this most of all.
Exactly.
But it will be interesting what it is that's looking at the money. The idea of money being over here. This is your true awareness, is spirit, not a body. The Course in Miracles is going to introduce the idea to you, if you stick with it and you get close enough to this material, it's going to introduce to you the experience of not being a body. The experience of being totally free. And the knowing that you are as God created you and it's never changed. This is one of the gifts of A Course in Miracles. It's a whole other identity than where you find yourself in a body. That's the fork in the road. So your body maintain, you keep your body as long as you want. But we're going to introduce to you the other way. It turned out to be the truth. You'll know it's the truth because it's bigger and more peaceful than anything you've ever experienced in your body. That's how you know you've got there. That's how you know you've seen it. When you breathe that holy instant that says, oh my God, I am spirit, you can't come back.
It's like the inside job. I mean, we're talking an inside job because one of the things I've learned through my years of recovery and everything else is when I first got into recovery, it was like, happiness is an inside job. And I'm like, yeah, sure. That doesn't change anything out there. But I had understood that it had nothing to do with what was out there. It was the awareness, like you said, that what's out there is, it's the perception of what's out there that's gonna bring peace.
Yes.
Awareness of peace into my spirit.
Yes.
Awareness of that.
Seek not to change your world. Right. Change your mind about your world.
That's what I was just
saying. And that goes with you wherever you go.
Yeah.
Now you can be happy under any circumstance.
Right.
Money cannot buy happiness.
The other thing I'd like to say, I noticed in our conversation, is that as we are speaking as from my own experience, that the shifts in perception, the awareness, it just sort of happens, and the awareness of it happens, but as time has progressed, it isn't about time, but as time has gone on, the experiences of the hardship of it diminishes and it becomes shorter when I'm faced with a challenge.
Yes.
You know, something I would experience recently that was just so horrible, I spent a year and a half in therapy like 20 years ago to deal with it. And in this experience, it was like 3 days. I was able to identify the feelings. Everything was just like a previous something that had happened.
Yes.
That was so devastating. I was just incapable of dealing with it, and I had therapy for a year and a half just to manage my own feelings about it.
Right. Yeah.
And this time, you know, I still had intense feelings, but because of my practice, I was able to experience the feelings.
Yes.
And it just shifted because I knew there was another way to look at it, but I didn't know what it was.
Yes.
I just had to sit with it until it happened.
Yes.
And it's not something I can think out of.
Yes.
It's not something I can do.
Yes.
It's just something I need to trust and be with. And
yes.
And I can't.
What happened is your training has you knowing there is another way. The world presented itself and the pain was felt.
Mm-hmm.
This situation came up.
Mm-hmm.
You're not asked to not feel pain. That's not even important.
Right.
However, it's the suffering. Instead of taking a year and a half, took 3-4 days or whatever. This is a sign that indeed you are awakening, that your right mind is at hand. Because you could translate the situation and transcend it.
And as a result of this,
yes.
I have so much more trust.
Yes.
And whatever happens now.
Yes, whatever happens. Yes.
So that is, I guess, an experience of increased awareness.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Indeed. It's increased awareness, and it is a devotion to the truth.
Right.
Because you know these fundamental lessons that you have learned, which is, I am responsible for what I see, think, and feel. Yeah. Somehow that got in. And now it was applied.
And I didn't consciously apply anything. I just really went into it and didn't judge it, which was a different thing.
That's different.
I didn't judge it.
Yes.
And I actually asked for help.
Yes.
Which was huge.
Huge. Nice.
And I had faith that I would know what to do, even though I didn't know what to do.
Even though you didn't know,
right.
You allowed room for the other way to occur. The previous you might have panicked, called people, went to a therapist, made up a whole plan, and then a second plan B.
Story to boot.
And a plan C, just in case A and B didn't work, because this is so important and so dangerous and so horrible.
Right.
But the new you says, no, I must learn not to plan with my ego.
And you became went directly to fear.
If you went to fear, yes,
you're likely not going to get immediate fantastic results.
Oh, I did go to fear though. I went to fear of abandonment.
Yes,
I went to fear of abandonment and having no one to trust.
Yes. Instead of a year and a half, though, it was maybe three or 4 days.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. So the course recognizes that you're still in a body.
Yeah.
And under time and space and gravity and all and fear and guilt and all that kind of stuff. However, what you're learning to is you have a Holy Spirit now in tow,
mm-hmm.
that when you're willing to ask, you will be told.
Right. And the other thing too is I have also recognized that the adrenaline feeds my ego.
Yes.
And that gets everything going. And so I've had more peace in my life for such an extended period of time that I automatically want to go back to that instead of fueling the adrenaline in my body.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Nice.
That's
the little willingness.
Right.
The little willingness.
Thank you for letting me share that.
No, beautiful. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. This is a celebration day, Michaeline. Mm-hmm. For you to share that with us and with yourself to see how far you've come. This is your awakening. It's what it looks like. This is what it looks like.
Yeah.
How would you know unless you had challenges?
Gross. It's like you have an immunity system now.
Spiritual immunity. So whatever happens.
Growth. That's beautiful.
That's nice. Yeah. He's got ego immunity. Oh,
wow.
A vaccine? Course in Miracles is a vaccine against the ego?
Probably some shyster is going to come out with all that. Rip off the course.
Well, I did use some of the, the instant, the pills.
You one of the forgiveness pills?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. They work.
It works.
You know about that? Julie, would you grab, Stephanie, would you grab the forgiveness pills? So, you know, Course in Miracles is a lot of lessons, and it's somewhat difficult to do the lessons. Mm-hmm. It takes a year, you have to meditate, you got to think about them. So I've come up with Andrew's forgiveness pills. Why do the lessons when you can just take the pill? Not FDA approved.
It must have something good in it.
Oh, it's got M&Ms.
No.
And so...
That's what I had in mind.
And there are some people who, and Michaeline, you're probably one of them, who's told me they have a bottle of this at work. The forgiveness pills are on the shelf at work. When stuff really goes bad, they just can't get their head straight. They go to that stupid bottle, open it, and say, okay. And it just breaks the cycle.
It does.
You know? Your crazy thinking stops for a second as you laugh and take an M&M with the word forgiveness written on it.
There's an M&M with the word forgiveness on it.
Well, the bottle says forgiveness, you know.
It's just, like you said, it's a quick shift.
A quick shift, a break in the ego cycle. Yeah. And it's got some warnings
and
on the label.
You get a lot of sugar, too.
Read us more of the warnings on the label video.
They have it in dark chocolate.
I know, that's the only thing overdose, I like, too. So I don't eat them
anymore. Overdose may... result in enlightenment.
Or diabetes.
If you have too much for diabetes.
Separate you from your body.
And their evidence.
Yeah.
But I've got none
to. Yeah, that's right. You know, I did my best, you know. Yeah. Yeah, good stocking stuffer. It's only, 350 days before Christmas.
I need to ask you a question, if it's okay. So, we're all spirit. Are we all the same spirit? Is there only one spirit?
Mm-hmm. Okay, good question. So, there is only one spirit, but it has currently billions of faces.
Okay. So,
I want to introduce a thought to you.
Okay.
And everybody here. If you haven't already been down this interesting little awareness journey, you're aware of separation. Separation means you're two different entities entirely, right? You compete and separate. Have you ever thought about individuation? Are these separate fingers or are they individuated part of a hand? That's how it is. That's why you're not going to lose anything. You can't change what you are.
Okay, not going to lose anything.
You think you're separate. You will only discover that you're individuated and wholly needed and a whole part of the whole that's capable of doing wonderful things. And more yet to be shown.
Well, is there any doubt? I mean, how much doubt? I can have doubt, but is it, when I read this and Jay says this and I believe it, and it says something like, what God has in store for me is a billion times better than the best thoughts I ever had. So, is that good? Is there any truth in any of that? I've seen it over and over again that the thoughts that God in Christ have for me, as if I'm going to lose anything, it's like, look, somebody you trust says, oh, don't worry about that. I got something a whole lot better for you than your little individual self, Stephen, what you think your own individual. You really want to keep that? How's that working for you? I got something better. Do you think I'm lying to you? Do you think that if you felt that, you'd go, oh, what was I thinking? Yeah, I was thinking, you know, a lot. Because I don't know it, but I know that this is the truth for me, and therefore when the truth says, got something better in store for you. All you really need to do, Stephen, is give up the other stuff.
Yes.
And then it just be just you awaken to your own presence.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that helps me. It helps me too. And Dave said, like, that's a complaint. Dave said, you know, your will is the same as God's will. So what are you worried about? God's will is going to happen, and then you're going to be as George too. And it's like, oh, great. That's pretty cool.
Yes.
It's all working out perfectly, better than I ever expected.
Yes.
In my little thoughts. Ego thoughts, just kind of gently, not important.
Yes.
But the idea of, you know, if there's something so much better, you just have to give up this that Everything. You have, that, you know, that's where the, like, addiction piece comes in. It's like, we have our things that we go to that make us, like, feel good.
Yes.
Over and over again in this
yes.
body, in this life. And,
yes.
And that's it is hard to give those up.
Well, what happens to the problem when you apply a solution?
Well, there is no solution.
The solution doesn't involve sacrifice.
Well, to me, when you apply a solution, the problem is gone, like I never had it. If I had a solution to my addictions, and then I couldn't say, how much am I going to value my addictions? No, the solution is a billion times better than my addictions. Because the solution, because I want a solution.
Yeah.
Because the problems are illusions.
Hmm.
And I'm saying, I mean, I'm not saying any, I'm just saying I'm grateful.
Yeah.
Because I'd be hanging on to stuff like mad if I thought it was really any value, and I'm still doing it. Like someone said, it's like someone hands you a full, beautiful plate of food and go, I can't eat it. It's too good. It's, and I didn't come up with that when I read a book. So it's a perfect plate. Here you go. You got everything. Oh, no. Nah, I can't do that.
So what happens is you recognize that there's a fork in the road and you have two identities. You can still be mom and sister and wife and live a great life with horses if that's what's up. And what's going to be even greater about it, being the mom, dealing with the situation you're in, is you'll be doing it without the fear. A solution has arrived.
I think it's beautiful because there's no real conflict. It's not really in conflict.
That's
you like being a mom, you like being yourself. Well, it's not like you're going to be missing it. It's still kind of present. I still kind of I'm still a little bit in both worlds.
Well, you know, it just like an alcoholic who has been drinking and drinking and drinking, and then they decide to stop drinking, and they're still there. But they're there without the alcohol, ruining their life. We are egomaniacs, and we're going to stop doing the ego. We're still going to be there.
Mm-hmm. But I think I'm going to align with Cecily a little bit, so you can tell me, Cecily, if I think. The people in my life, even though there are things about them that I want them, I would like for them to change.
Yes.
And even though they're giving me lessons that are hard,
yes,
which I appreciate, if you take a finger, here they are, and here's my daughter, here's my grandchild, here's another grandchild, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We're all part of this spirit,
mm-hmm,
okay? We're individuated, mm-hmm, parts of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
My greatest fear in this whole thing is eventually I won't recognize them.
Mm. Oh, I got big news for you. The difficulty is recognizing them, right? That's the hard way to go about it, is that you would have to perceive them. What we're going to in your transcendence is you would actually know them for the first time.
Right.
Mm. Know them as what?
As they are.
You would know them at all. Right now you don't know them. You can't. In your separate addiction, all you have is a story about them. A picture in your mind, a voice, a few words they may or may not have said, or you hope they do say. I mean, experience is limited, very limited. It's beautiful, it's nice. It's so limited. You've never known them, and they've never known you.
So are you saying that when I become... Wait a minute, if it happens, not yet.
Christ.
When it happens,
yes.
If I become Christ, I will know my daughter.
Yes. For the first time.
I won't forget her, I will know her.
You won't forget her, you'll know her.
And that's why I have to figure out how to believe.
Yeah. You barely even have a story of your daughter.
I get that.
You're not giving up much, right?
Hmm.
Hey, compared to knowing her,
mm-hmm,
compared to actually being aware of her being and being able to think with her, compared to actually being with her in spirit, mm-hmm, and sharing with her the gifts instantaneously as she creates.
So what you're saying is, when I am as Christ,
yes,
that in all the past lives of people that I've loved, I will know.
Yeah.
Right now, I don't know them at all.
You never did.
Except the ones here.
Just stories. You've known little stories of them. Yeah.
Everybody, when we get there, everybody will be there waiting for us.
That's right. Well, isn't it like you'll know them as Christ?
Yes.
You acknowledge Christ.
Yeah. Yes.
Love.
Yeah, but will I know them as individuals? That's the thing.
You will know them as they are. And there's in these fingers are way different. Each one, right?
Yeah.
You've been only looking at it this way, seeing five.
Seeing the tips of the fingers.
The tips of the fingers. That's all you've been seeing. And so you think you know these fingers. And you know all about them. Hell, it's your daughter, right? You've watched her grow since she was there. But you've never been experienced that they're connected. You didn't know. You didn't even know that the fingers were on the same hand. You didn't even know they were controlled from the same locus of the hand. You didn't even know that they could touch each other from the same hand and yet feel each other. You didn't know it was one. Would you want to go back to seeing the tips again? How interesting is that?
Right now it feels like all I have of them.
I know.
But that's the ego. And that's the separation.
But you're asked. Yes, that's right.
And I think Julie can, I mean, working with hospice, and I was there through with my husband when he transitioned and he passed away. It was a very long experience. And I struggled, you know, in the beginning because I didn't know how to relate because I had this story. I mean, we went to high school, we have all this history. And yet he was different because he had now this illness. And I really wanted to experience him. And using the course things, I think it was the closest experience I ever had with another human being. Because it wasn't about illness, it wasn't about anything outside of us when we were together. And it was just so profound. And I was able to get a peek at what Andrew's talking about. And I really, and when you're with someone who's in that place, everything else just falls away. You know, what they did last year, you know, what they did yesterday. It's just really about the present.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of captured in Miracle Principle 24.
Thank you. That's all I need is a miracle.
You need a miracle. Let's put number 24 on Michaeline's beautiful description of being with her husband or being with a dying person where all of the rules don't apply anymore because there's maybe only an hour or 10 or 20 or 30 left.
You don't even know.
Or maybe it's a week and maybe it's another week, but it's not going to be a month or a year. No, it is not. It's just not. It changes the rules of existence, and it's a very free place to be. Mm-hmm. It's Miracle Principle 24 a bit, huh? Michael, you read that for us?
Miracles enable you to heal the sick and raise the dead because you made sickness and death yourself and can therefore abolish both. You are a miracle capable of creating in the likeness of your Creator. Everything else is your own nightmare and does not exist. Only the creations of light are real.
You had a creation of light with your husband, mm-hmm. where the bodies were actually put aside, mm-hmm. and you were together. Mm-hmm. And you understood that you were together.
Mm-hmm. Now I have a problem because I want that.
That's fine. It's sweet sorrow, baby. But that will help you to transcend the body.
It does help me.
That desire, that love that you felt, that rare love instant that couldn't be had with the bodies when they were working between breakfast and lunch, and what are you going to do with a laundromat and Costco on the way to lunch? It wasn't going to happen. And it didn't happen.
Wow, just how I envisioned it.
I don't know. I like our analogy of the onion. People talk about onion, and I think that's, to me, you're being a teacher.
Feeling an
onion. But like that onion, because I didn't understand it like, I'm going to uncover something.
Yes.
And I get like light from that.
Yes.
There's a problem. I mean, I uncover it and I get like a light.
Yeah.
And then I go, oh, there's something darker below.
Yeah.
And then I have to, and I keep doing that.
And there's tears all the way
all
through.
All the way through.
That's why I like that onion. Yeah, it's so realistic.
But the awareness of it overwhelmed goes, okay, now it's not so scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because now I'm like, oh, this is what I'm doing. I'm uncovering things so I can see more. And sometimes I'm going to go from the outside in. So some of the more challenging things and darker things to me, I'm going to discover as I go in. Mm-hmm. Which can be scary at first because you think you're gaining light. But I'm facing things that are deeper.
Yeah.
And now I have a little bit of trust, some trust, so I can go, oh, okay, this is cool. And it's a little steadier flow. It's not do a couple of things and then I like 2 months, I don't want to like look in the mirror.
Right.
Instead, now I know that I'm aware that this is how beautiful that things are deeper are coming up. Yeah. Things I never even, like, I've suppressed them. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know they were there. And now they're coming up. And yeah, it can be shocking, but I know there's a solution. Mm-hmm. I know that. And I know these are illusions. Mm-hmm. And it's okay.
Now, to be able to have the solution applied realistically in this world where we're in bodies, around bodies, dealing with bodies, alive or dying. Let's go read about it. Let's go to tonight's reading on page 426. How do we turn that problem situation into our Savior? Our Savior. And that's what we're reading about. This is Gift of Lilies. How does that work? Look at paragraph 2. So I think, are we at Mark or Stefan? Stefan. Paragraph 2 on page 426.
Gifts are not made through bodies, if they be truly given and received.
Then Michaeline, the gifts she gave her husband, was not through bodies at that point, because one of the bodies was leaving.
Right.
They're like,
I felt like I was given a gift, too.
Yes.
For bodies can neither offer nor accept, hold out nor take. Only the mind can value, and only the mind decides on what it would receive and give.
Mm-hmm.
And every gift it offers depends on what it wants. It will adorn its chosen home most carefully, making it ready to receive the gifts it wants by offering them to those who come unto its chosen home or those it would attract to it. And there they will exchange their gifts, offering and receiving what their minds judge to be worthy of them.
Okay, so that's just putting your experience right in your hands. As you think it, so it is. You're not a victim. As you are looking to receive something from somebody, you will actually be giving them what it is you would receive from them.
So the it here is the mind.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, next paragraph.
Is that like reciprocation? You're expected to do that?
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about.
It works. Solution. Where I feel like I got nothing, and I'm like starving.
Yes.
And I go, oh, I'm just going to have to do what actually works. I'm going to have to go be loving when I don't feel it. And it's miraculous, and it's only because I've been driven to the end of my rope. Against my will, I'm going to have to go out and be loving and kind because I'm empty of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it works against all belief. And this one says right here.
Yes.
So right there in the paragraph. That's you're right. Going to offer what you like to receive.
That's right.
And it's the opposite.
Yep.
In the world. Will be
I'm unable to get more money this month. So I'm just going to have to work with what I have.
I'm going to have to give some money to somebody.
I'm actually going
to
deal
it.
With what I have and stop wishing I had more. Suddenly, peace floods in. You go, well, looks like I'm making that phone call after all. Looks like I'm going to do whatever it is I'd have to do anyway, but now I'll do it without fear.
I like that.
It's these huge stories we tell ourselves that make life difficult. It's amazing how much more powerful we are without fear, too.
But I kind of just...
Yes?
You made a flippant statement, but I just wanted to comment on it. So of course, we're going to have to give money. When you don't have any, that's not the truth. I mean, you don't have... That's not...
Yeah, that was a bit flippant sideways on it. But it, that's for me, because my ego wants to keep playing it. How do I undo my
own ego? By the way... So there's all sorts of law of attraction stuff we could be talking about. And pull out the movie The Secret and play it on that little TV screen. Then we could manifest more. No, that's not Course in Miracles. Mm-hmm. It's fine if you want to do that. It's great. Give your money and get 10 times back. Go for it. It's not what we're learning here. It has nothing to do with form. Your happiness does not have to do with form.
Outside.
And if you put numbers of zeros behind it, it's just not going to change. It's all outside. And that is not where we're learning happiness actually exists. And guess what? If you're spirit, there's no amount of money that's going to buy happiness. There's an understanding that'll buy happiness. Absolutely. That's what heaven is. Heaven is another word for understanding. That's what light is in A Course in Miracles. It's understanding. What else do you really want than the truth? And now you can take that perspective with you as you go and live out the rest of your life. And you get proper perspective on things rather than all this goofy thinking that you do so much. Stop that! Come on, right?
Thank you, Luann. Well,
yeah, that's what I was going to add to what I was saying.
Like being rich.
The truth is,
if
someone gives us money, what we can give them back that they really want is love. That's even a bigger gift than what they've given us, as far as I'm concerned.
David said something really important. He put on the other side of the coin.
Yeah.
We're Americans, Santa Cruz. Your house is probably worth more than you can imagine. Do you feel rich?
No.
It's a state of mind. If you have what's the number? I think it's $3,000. If you have $3,000, if all your possessions added up, your clothes, your money in your bank, your food, the car, the gas in the car, if all that adds up to more than $3,000, you are in the top 1% of the planet. $3,000. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if it's 1%, then it's maybe 5%.
And let there's yet that powerful thought of lack.
Let me just ask you this. Do you feel rich?
I do.
It's a, yeah. Okay, great. So then the freedoms come washing in here. There you go. It's a state of mind.
I was watching the lottery ticket things going on, all that people winning, and it was like 95% of the people who won the lottery end up worse off afterwards. 50% of them were bankrupt.
Yep.
And so at that moment, I realized, whoa.
Bankrupt, had come to courts.
At that point, it's, I figured rich, being rich is a state of mind, and I concentrated on that, and from shortly afterwards, I have never felt, I'm fine, don't have to worry about money anymore.
I have a funny story.
State of mind.
Yeah, it's
the place I have a funny story about that. When I was raising my kids, I was a single mother. I was on assistance for a period of time. I was working and going to school. But I never, ever said anything about lack to my kids. And I said, oh, we are so rich. Wow. But you don't act rich, you feel rich. And when they got older, and I think they were in junior high or high school, one of them just burst out in rage at me because we didn't have the money to get what she wanted and she thought we were...
Grasshopper.
So I figured I did okay.
That's pretty good.
Some respect.
Yeah,
that's good. You know,
that's hard. Yeah, to my house and talk to my teenager.
Yeah. 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 You bet. Yeah. It's a state of being rich, and then there's some physical riches. Very, very different. Thank you. Good comment.
One of the things that I have to do is I used to never have a savings account, save money. After I went through this phase, all of a sudden I have money saved up.
Ah.
Like nothing to have money later on. So I just lost interest in it.
Yeah.
And I could save it.
And then suddenly it shows up.
It was just like...
Funny how it works that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same in relationships. Okay, let's continue. Were you reading? Julia's reading?
Oh.
Who's reading?
Somebody else can go. I'm good. I'm
okay.
Thanks.
I'll go. Each gift is an evaluation of the receiver and the giver.
Okay, read that sentence again slowly. Big lesson.
Each gift is an evaluation of the receiver and the giver. No one but sees his chosen home as an altar to himself. No one but seeks to draw it to it the worshippers of what he placed upon it, making it worthy of their devotion. And each has a set light upon his altar, that they may see what he has placed upon it and take it for their own. Here is the value that you lay upon your brother and on yourself. Here is your gift to both. Your judgment on the Son of God for what he is. Forget
not... Perfect time to clear your throat. Embarrassing statement.
Forget not that it is your Savior to whom the gift is offered. Offer him thorns and you are crucified. Offer him lilies and it is yourself you set free.
Okay, so this again is a similar message to the previous paragraph, is you are living the dream you're dreaming. And when you give thoughts or judgments about somebody else, this is your life. If you're making them power over you, then that means you are powerless in front of them. This is the gift you're offering. If you're offering them your patience, which lasts another 45 minutes, and then there's going to be hell to pay. If that's what you're giving them, this is what you're going to get. That's what you have. That is your life. It's 45 minutes is all the patience that there is in this world. Versus a more compassionate patience. How much time do you need to do this? I'm going to work around whatever you need. You might even go faster now. Because I'm like willing to work with you. All right, since you said it that way. It's a whole different way to look at it. As you give, you receive.
Actually, you're forming the world. You're forming the response you're getting from the people in your world by your own projecting of your own beliefs about the world.
Well said. And they will respond in kind. Right. You're
naturally,
telling them how to respond.
They'll respond naturally.
Naturally.
It'll be obvious to them to respond that way.
Yes.
And what you also just said is exactly what I think you talked about a week or so ago, is that God doesn't have a sense of time about how long it's going to take us to all become flesh.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no, he's not waiting.
Sure.
Since your whole situation of not being Christ is like a kid sleeping and having dreams. Who knows what's going on in that kid's mind? Don't care. Kid's still there. It's all good.
Okay, there's no sense of time. Okay, there is no time anyway in his world.
Yes. Time is a dream. Yeah. Inside the sleeping Son of God. Yes. Okay, let's
have lifetimes, and every single spirit is all the same anyway.
It's one spirit, just like this is one hand, but how many fingers?
I guess what I'm saying is, I don't know what I'm saying.
I just want to ask you, how many fingers I have on this one hand?
Trick question.
Trick question! Honestly? Honestly? Can anybody here say you have only one finger, Andrew? I'm going to show you one finger if you do. Well, we got to pick one to show you, right? You see, individuation, the creation, is not static. And another huge clue about oneness is that there are no duplicates. There's only one Julie. That's it. She's there. There's one Bridget. That's it. She's there. The truth about oneness is that there are no duplicates. And it's infinite. And it's all connected. If there was even one duplicate, we'd have separation and dualism. But there are none. Everything's unique. And an expression of all. It's a fantastic thing to discover. And something only you can share. And only your daughter can share her uniqueness of the oneness with you. It's a fantastic experience, but you can't have it in this limited body. Okay, back to the right level here. Let's get one more in. Michaeline, you ready? Paragraph 4. Who wants to read that?
I just read, I think.
Oh, did you make it all the way through 3? Did I interrupt you?
No, I read it all the way. You want me to read the last sentence again?
Yeah, you got it, yeah. Well, no, we got that. We're good to go. Okay. Kenny, are you really up to this?
No.
Okay.
I worked a deal already.
Clear answer.
All right. You worked a deal, Carol. Carol, would you read for Kenny, please?
Yes.
Is that a prayer?
Sick.
I have great need for lilies, for the Son of God has not forgotten me.
Please read that again and correctly. And who's the I in this paragraph?
Jesus.
It's Jesus. Who's Jesus?
Jesus.
Somebody tell me who Jesus is.
The Son of God?
Yeah.
Christ?
Yeah.
One like us who...
Savior and author.
Forgave everything and awoke.
And aligned with the Holy Spirit, period.
Right.
Now is a representation of the Holy Spirit in the as an awakened mind. Mm-hmm. So it's just the truth speaking and writing. And the author. So we just got to put a name on that.
Who understood what we experience now.
Walked in your shoes. Mm-hmm. Totally understand. Gets it. Been there. Actually, access to the whole mind. So, totally present. Part of your mind that's awake. That has walked in your shoes. We'll just call it Jesus for now.
Okay.
and wrote this in these notes. You wrote this. Were you to actually connect back to the hand? The hand and the power of the hand is what's moving the fingers. The fingers are not moving themselves. And it wrote A Course in Miracles, which was nothing to do because it just injected something into the dream. Injected some truth into the dream the best it could. No big deal.
You were part of it on a deeper level.
Yes, connected fully. All right, let's continue.
Start again at the beginning.
Yeah, please do.
I have great need for lilies, for the Son of God has not forgiven me.
Now, lilies versus thorns, all right? Yeah. That's just the two sides of the coin. One is thorns, one is lilies. One hurts, the other one's a blessing. Okay, forgiven me for the Son. He's still not... The Son of God, that's you, has not forgiven Jesus. Continue.
And can I offer him forgiveness when he offers thorns to me? For he who offers thorns to anyone is against me still, and who is whole, and who is whole without him?
In thorns is code for judgment, mm-hmm. attack, doubt. Blame. Please continue.
Be you his friend for me, that I may be forgiven.
Okay, now, be you his friend for me. The one that we're talking about in these last several pages, the Ass-Holy One, difficulty in
that's
our life.
The Ass-Holy.
Yes, that's right. to see that person differently would take a miracle because they really did something horrible. We have to allow you to step back and somewhere in your mind see their motivation as looking for love and happiness, just like you. Even though you don't condone what they did, you may still have to sue them for it. That may happen, that's fine. But that's the body level. We're going to take the spirit approach and see it differently. The body still may go to court. Fine. Dream it up the way you would have it. But let this spirit awareness come in and see the love.
So where's the teaching? If they're your teacher?
Yes.
Is that on the spiritual level
yes.
or the physical level?
It's a spiritual level, and it happens in your own mind. The Holy Spirit will use a picture of them suing you, or whatever it is that you didn't like, or whatever it is that you didn't like, and will translate those activities from attack to a blessing that only they could give you. You could take something so ugly and see the love behind it, thereby dissolving the harm that it would give you and giving you the particular lesson.
And you might not be able to know what that lesson is, but to trust in that it's what you need.
That's right. In the moment, you may not be it's too far
forever.
For you to reach. Maybe never, but probably if you do your Course in Miracles, it'll tell you 365 times. It'll give you a chance to see it 365 times. For example, my grievances hide the light of the world in me. You got a grievance over this person. If you're just willing to quiet the grievance just for a moment now, you'll find yourself being the light of the world. Just this freedom of thinking, your mind unburdened for just a moment. They gave that gift to you. Your mind unburdened. Heavily burdened, and you look for the miracle behind the burden, and then you're unburdened. In the worst situation, the worse it is, the more of a gift this is. The more of the contrast that you can relieve the pain of that the world with your own thoughts, the more of an awakening you're going to have. And that if you can carry that kind of power with you, what can the world take from you? You take it everywhere you go. I mean, you transcend money. You transcend however much money you have or don't have. When you transcend money, you will transcend the power of money any number that it can draw at you, and you'll sleep better. You will transcend this addiction to it having power over you. But it takes running out of money or really close to make you really want freedom from it.
Yeah.
It takes the ass-holy ones to actually rub you the wrong way so that you can choose peace and find out how much power you have to choose peace. Turns out, and that will go with you as you continue on your journey as a creator. Yeah. We have just enough time to finish this paragraph if I don't interrupt.
Don't.
Yeah, right here, the rest of you guys.
Let's see.
Yeah, four. Yeah, be you his friend for me.
Be you his friend for me, that I may be forgiven, and you may look upon the Son of God as whole. Mm-hmm. But look you first upon the altar in your chosen home, and see what you have laid upon it to offer me. If it be thorns, whose points gleam sharply in the blood-red light, the body is your chosen home, and it is separation that you offer me. And yet the thorns are gone. Look you still closer at them now, and you will see your altar is no longer what it was. Gosh, I'm bored of those.
We're introducing the idea that you could be something other than a body, talking to another body. Jesus is dead, gone. And yet in your hands, he seems to be alive. There's something invisible going on here. You've got a relationship with something invisible. Your chance at being as trying on, communicating with spirit, is in your lap.
I don't get one part of this.
Yes?
Be you his friend for me, that I may be forgiven. I don't know why he, God, or Jesus needs to be forgiven.
Well,
self-paragraph.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she read it just great. Be you his friend, the one you don't want to be friends with because they have harmed you.
Yeah, I get that part.
Okay? Exactly.
We can't be whole without him.
Do it.
We can't be whole without Lord.
Yes. Do it. Do it for Jesus. Do it for Jesus. What would Jesus do with that ass holy one?
Forgive him.
He would forgive him out of love.
Right, and there can't be the wholeness without me, and there can't be the wholeness without you, or all of them. We're Jesus, we're the asshole, and we're the other.
Yes.
We're all three of them, and as we all get together,
yes,
we're not whole.
That's right.
That part too.
I mean, the only one who's going to do this is you.
But it implies we're all one then, right?
Yeah, I'm not pretending I have the answers or even know what you're saying. You know, I don't have to be correct.
If we should just go back a week or just
whatever you guys decide, go ahead without me if you need to.
Let's have a circle.
Oh, mine's, I have to get up, doesn't it?
Take a deep breath. So you are surrounded by saviors. Mm-hmm. The people in your life, the people in this room, they are now saviors. If you give them attack thoughts, these are like giving them thorns, and you will not be able to receive the gift they are offering, because they will give thorns back to you just the way you gave them. But in your mind, if you ask the Holy Spirit to show it to you differently, show me this person differently. Show me their innocence. Show me my innocence in all the gifts that I tried to give them in the relationship. And show me their innocence. A few rounds of that, and you will see that your Savior, from once was very ugly, has shown you that peace is called for, understanding is called for, compassion is called for, and that's what you'll have. And then they will serve as your Savior instead of your enemy. And Jesus will say, thank you. That's what I would do. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Okay, give lilies.
Yeah. Okay.